Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, listen when you want to.
Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach, and I want to thank you for downloading this episode of Snacks for the Brain. We're truly grateful for your interest in what we're doing to bring the joy of research and discovery to K-12 students and teachers the whole world over. If you're not in either of these categories, maybe you're just an interesting person who's interested in the world. In any case, welcome. Bi-weekly or so, we'll share some fun, independent, pod-safe music. We'll interview working research scientists, students, or leading proponents of educational change. And we'll toss in an occasional sound-seeing tour or computer tip.
We'll be right here.
Whenever you need us, at blogs.vanderbilt.edu/s4theb and at the CSO website at scienceoutreach.org, sharing good brain munchies with you. So, listen up. Let's get right down to it with episode number
63.
First up, from the fine indie music portal Magnitude.com and Sun Palace's Into Heaven CD, singer Andriette Redman leads us into a discussion all about ice, with skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Meanwhile, back in the year one, belong to no one. You didn't stand a chance, son. If your bands were undone. Day.
23rd, 2007, the freshman class at the School for Science and Math at Vanderbilt settled in their chairs at the lab tables for a little video conference chat with Mark Twickler, director of the National Ice Core Laboratory, to learn about how ice cores are collected and used in scientific research to reveal information about life and climate in past eras. This episode of Snacks for the Brain will share out from that interaction in which yours truly also learned some interesting new things. Like about the lakes in Antarctica?
Beneath the ice sheet are large lakes and of liquid water. They really don't know too much about them, but there's one over the Vostok, where Vostok ice core was drilled, and they've gone to within about 50 meters of the lake water. And there's a big controversy about actually penetrating into the lake because we could pollute it, and that's one thing we don't want to do, is because it's an environment, and what the studies are showing is as they get closer and closer, because it's actually lake water that is frozen to the bottom of the glacier, so it's water that didn't come from the atmosphere, but came from the lake, and they're starting to find some very interesting organisms in that ice. So it's an ecosystem that we just discovered in the past 10 years, and since they started looking at this, they figured there's probably the lake that's underneath Lake Vostok, they think is the largest one. It's about the size of Lake Ontario, but Lake Ontario is only about 500 feet deep. This lake is about 1,000 feet deep, so it contains more water than Lake Ontario. And they think that these lakes might be all interconnected. So if you go in and you pollute one lake, you could end up polluting the entire ecosystem. So they're trying to look at new methods and that kind of stuff, that so they can penetrate the ice. And NASA's very interested in these studies also, because they hope to go to Europa, a moon of Jupiter, and it's an ice-covered moon, liquid underneath there. So if they can land on that moon and drill into the water below, they may be able to find life in that water, because as we know it here, water is one of the necessities for life. So NASA's very interested in finding out how you can detect life in these things. So there's a lot of NASA scientists working on the ice cores too, to see how you can tell if there's life in the ice cores.
Very interesting.
Well, a little later in the conversation, Mr. Twickler shared some basic information about the National Ice Core Laboratory, and the conversation turned toward a discussion of the requirements and training for the graduate students who will be involved in taking the next core samples this coming year.
The Ice Core Lab contains, I think, about 14,000 meters of ice, and like I said, mostly comes from Greenland, Antarctica. The largest collection is the ice core that was drilled on the Greenland ice sheet in 1989-93. Like I said, there's 3,000 meters from that. We hope to get another 3,400 meters from the ice core in Antarctica, which we'll be starting drilling on that ice core this December. And like I said, it'll probably take us 3 years to get down to the bottom instead of 4 years, because we have a faster drill now. And there'll be, we're deploying, University of New Hampshire's hiring 9 students to go down and assist with collecting that ice core. So they'll spend 8 to 10 weeks down in Antarctica collecting the core, and then we'll ship it back, and then we'll start analyzing it next summer out of the National Ice Core Lab.
So the graduate students you're hiring?
Most of them are graduate students. A few of them are actually working directly on the project, and others are just students that have done glaciology work in other fields relating to paleoclimate. But yeah, we put an ad out last January, and we had 75 applicants for the position.
So it's highly coveted.
Yes, and actually we just had a meeting out at Lake Tahoe 2 weeks ago, and it was the first time that we had met all the people that we had hired, because we couldn't afford to fly them in for interviews, so we had a questionnaire that they filled out, and they sent their resumes in, and we were very pleased with the people that we ended up selecting when we actually had a chance to meet them. We think we selected a really great group of people to work down there. We're hoping some of them will want to return next year, because that way we don't have to train them, and we'll have positions open every year. And we had a wide variety of people who applied for them. I mean, we had nurses applying for the position, school teachers, and it was a hard decision on figuring out who actually to hire. But our first priority was hiring students, who were working on the project because working on the project or working on projects related to climate change.
That's really interesting. You have such diversity in your applicants. So what are the requirements to do something like that?
I guess the most important thing is a willingness of an adventure, because it is obviously an adventure going to an Antarctica. It's a cold place. You know, one of the questions we ask is, like, how do you deal with cold? What's your cold weather experience? Because you're going to be working for 10 hours a day in an area that is not going to get above minus 20 degrees centigrade, because we have to keep these ice cores cold. And so, you know, you try to stress to them that it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's a steel shelter, and it'll get drifted over. It's like working in a cave. But that's the way that we can make sure that it stays cold. They're all very excited about going. You know, we're excited about that. And just the willingness to work as a team is very important, because they'll be working in shifts. We'll be working 24 hours a day, 6 days a week while they're down there, just constantly drilling and drilling and drilling. And we have a new processing system that we've just designed, the National Ice Core Lab designed, that will be used to actually section up the core and pack it away to ship it back to the United States. And they've devised a system where no one picks up the boxes individually anymore, so there's less chance of breakage due to drop boxes. They never actually pick up an ice core. It's all on conveyors and lifting onto carts with a manual crank lift. So we're trying to eliminate the amount of lifting that goes onto it. The other thing I should mention is that there's a wide variety. Oh, did you have a question in the back?
Yeah, excuse me. I know this question's on the minds of many students who might think it's indelicate, but the position for the explorers who go down to Antarctica to work with the core samples, does that pay well?
That's one reason why we like to get students who are projects, because they have money in their grant to pay for them. But what we're paying for people to go down this year is, it does pay fairly well. It's $800. We're paying them $800 a week, which is pretty good considering. I mean, we had applicants that would do it for nothing. I mean,
right.
Actually, most of the applicants were surprised that we're actually paying people, you know, that we were paying them to do this. Most people are, you know, who want to go to Antarctica are willing to go to Antarctica for no pay, just for the experience of getting down there. But we feel that, you know, they are working, you know, 60 hours a week, and they are in an environment. And we need them to be alert, and it's not just for the adventure. What they are looking at, that ice core, they have to record correctly. Otherwise, it's going to mess us up down the road. So, we do pay them. So, I think they're all very pleased.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there certain requirements
for applicants? There, it isn't. I think just, we're looking at people over 18, probably because of, legal issues. Let's see, what do we have? The youngest person we have, most of them are graduate students that we're hiring at this point here, but that doesn't mean that we wouldn't take undergraduate students. High school students, it's a pretty harsh environment for someone in high school, but definitely undergraduates and that kind of stuff would be people that we would consider. This is a short year. After this year, the deployment for these people are going to be about 13 weeks in the field. So it's a pretty long time. That's 3 months that you're in an isolated place with, you know, no phone contact, under emergency circumstances we have phone contact, but very limited internet access. We use a satellite for our internet, and that satellite is only in view for about 6 hours a day, and the bandwidth is very, very slow, so there's basically no, you know, there's not enough bandwidth for any kind of internet surfing or anything like that. So you can get some simple email messages back and forth. So just that isolation of, 3 months out on the ice cap is something that, it's one of the questions that we ask the applicants, like, what's your experience of being in a remote location, with limited access? Because 13 weeks is a long time to spend on a glacier. But we don't have any strict age guidelines, like I said, as of 18. Yep.
Do you have any, like, training before you leave, kind of like NASA, say, have, like, training before
the leave? The training, we gave a few people training. Most of these people that were working on the ice cores had gone to the National Ice Core Lab before and had worked at the lab. Our main training that we wanted to give them was the tasks that they have to do are not that hard to do. I mean, you're measuring with a measuring stick, and you have to be able to write punch the numbers right to the computer. The big thing, again, is working in the cold for a long period of time. So anyone who hadn't, who applied and we accepted and hadn't worked at an ice core lab previously, we sent them out to Colorado this past summer and had them work out there for a week so they knew what they're getting themselves into. And, you know, because it is cold, it's hard, and you've got to have dexterity so you can't, your fingers are the cold, you can keep the rest of your body, but you can't wear real thick gloves because you can't maneuver your hands with real thick gloves. So you have to wear, you know, kind of thin gloves. And so the hands are the tough part. And you can throw lots of clothing on your body, but when you can only have thin gloves on your fingers, that's where it really, really matters. But the rest of the training, like I said, these are all graduate students who have worked, most of them have worked with ice cores before, maybe not on this project, but they've worked with ice cores before. So they already had a lot of the training. But once you get down to Antarctica, you get a lot of additional training. In fact, you get you go to survival school for 2 days so you can learn how to live, if the plane were to crash or you get lost or something like that. Then we go through a variety of, because we have some ladders you have to climb up, so you go through what's called fall safe protection, how to use a fire extinguisher, how to lift heavy objects, how to, just a variety of really specialized training just for the project we're doing. But we don't do a lot of that training here in the States.
Thanks to Mark Twickler, director of the National Ice Core Laboratory, and to the faculty and students of the School for Science and Math at Vanderbilt for that tasty morsel of a snack. I'm going to lead you out with one more song from Magnatune.com's Sun Palace. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, wishing you health, wisdom, and peace until I can reach out to you on the next episode of Snacks for the Brain. Here's Andriette Redman from Sun Palace's Give Me a Perfect World with a title cut. See ya!
Is always
next. For the Brain is brought to you by the fine folks at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, connecting working research scientists with K-12 students worldwide. Check out the website at scienceoutreach.org.